This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I know usually we talk with Mickey here. We're going to push that off just a little bit. And instead, right now.
Sorry, Mickey.
Let's go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip. Turn the mic on.
Gridiron Gravy brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your home? Visit rhinoshieldtx.com. Now let's start with power ranking. Actually, we're going to get to that in a second. Instead, what I want to start with, and I know that we feel like we've smashed our head into the wall like a million times about this, but Darren Woodson has moved into the semifinalist list for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, that means it's cut down to 25. We've been through this process before. He has advanced to the finals multiple times. This is the ninth time he's been a semifinalist.
Good luck.
Look, we will continue to champion the campaign for him. He deserves it. Every time we get a former Cowboy player on, we ask. Every single player he played with says that he should be in. People that played against him say that he absolutely should be in. So go ahead and do the right thing, Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Spike Lee.
The only one he will not do the right thing.
That was a movie called Do the Right Thing.
Torrey Holt is the only player on the list that has more semifinal appearances than Darren Woodson. He's been on this list 11 times.
Look, Torrey.
So I'm sure they're like, hey, thanks.
You're cool and everything. You won me some money back in the day. But I think Darren Woodson deserves it more.
Woo! You love to hear it now.
Who has more championships?
I think Darren Woodson does.
Let's power rank the NFL power ranking quarterbacks. Who do you think are the worst three quarterbacks currently playing?
Yeah, because now Trevor Lawrence, is he back?
He is not back yet.
Then Mac Jones is on this list.
Mac Jones is the next to last quarterback in all of the lands.
The Italian Stallion.
Tommy DeVito!
I picked him up and I'm starting him in fantasy this
week. Don't do that.
I did.
Why?
What happened? You quit?
You have a
Josh Allen's on his bye week.
Oh.
So I needed somebody.
You have a 24 team league?
It is a big league. I accidentally
pick up
won
Cooper
last
Rush.
Week.
He's going to throw the ball 58 times.
I beat Peyton on accident. I didn't even try. I really didn't.
Wow.
I've pretty much forgotten about that one and I won.
Well,
I'm bad in that one.
You just mentioned the other player on the list. So the bottom three are Tommy DeVito's 30. Mac Jones is 31, and our very own Cooper Rush.
He's better. I'm
number 32 on the list.
He's better than those two other guys, my opinion.
If you took out age, contract, development, all that other stuff, who would you rather have start for you this weekend, Cooper Rush or Bryce Young?
A better chance of winning just this Sunday.
This game.
Cooper Rush, but I'd rather have. I know I make fun of him, but maybe there's that small possibility.
Couldn't help himself.
That Bryce Young could play in this league. You don't know yet. You know, he has none of the criteria to be good in this league. But I would, if I'm looking at, hey, I'd rather play Bryce Young in the last seven games of the season for the Cowboys and see if he could figure it out. But I think right now Cooper Rush is a better quarterback than Bryce Young today.
Now let's go to the top of the list per CBS. Who do you believe is the number one? Actually, let me ask you this first. Who do y'all think is the number one quarterback at this exact moment in the NFL?
Josh Allen.
That's who I'd guess they would put.
Josh Allen is third on the list.
So they still have Lamar and... Is Jared
Burrow was two, wasn't he?
Oh my gosh, he was.
Joe Burrow remains number two. Lamar Jackson remains number one. So Josh Allen, who's now the new favorite to be MVP, only number three.
He beat
on this
an undefeated
list.
Team almost single handedly.
There were times when I'm sure the Bills don't appreciate that, but there were times when I'm like, yeah. So you got him. That's good.
Hey, that one catch that Amari made was pretty special. Like, that was a really nice catch. And James Cook had some really good runs in that game, too.
All right. Where do you go from there? If those are the top three, so
the most
those,
efficient quarterback in the whole world is Jared Goff.
And Lamar Jackson has been number one for a lot of this year. I get that he has four losses now on his team's record, but I would still have him as a top five quarterback this year.
Jared Goff is number four. He's averaging 9.2 yards per throw. That's insane. If you get to like eight, you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
He's at 9.2 yards per throw. That, like, so that means if you average out all of his passes, even the incompletions, they almost go for a first down every time.
The other thing, too, is like watching him because their run game is so effective. He knows he's calm with what he does in the pocket. It gives him more space to throw into, but he also, like, those incompletions, I've seen a couple of those incompletions just be throwaways because he knows he can. Whenever you know, like, we're going to be able to get the yards on the next play, you're patient with it.
Was I right about Lamar being in the top five still?
He said one Lamar's just a minute one. Ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Lamar's one, Burrow's two.
Okay.
And then Josh Allen, Jared Goff, Justin Herbert is number five. Rounding out the top 10, couple of NFC East quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts is six, Jaden Daniels is seven, and then it goes Brock Purdy, Kyler Murray, and Patrick Mahomes at number 10.
Where's Dak?
Okay, let's run that through a little bit. Oh, he's not on the list because he's hurt. Would you have him above Bo Nix?
Nope.
Like right now, I'm not saying their career, their long-term prognosis, none of that.
I'd have him in the same tier, but I think that it would be, he'd be slightly behind him.
Okay. Would you have him ahead or behind Anthony Richardson?
Ahead.
Okay. Jameis?
Ahead.
I think so too.
Okay. So he'd probably be around 22 because starting at 18, it goes Kirk Cousins, Tua, Derek Carr, and Bo Nix.
Okay.
Then at 22 is Drake May, then Anthony Richardson, Jameis Winston. So if that's like kind of the area you think, just in this moment for like the seasons they've had and everything, he would be somewhere around 22 in the quarterback power rankings, which obviously a far cry from last year when he was second for MVP voting. I don't know if you guys had heard that or not. All right, let's go from that.
Can I ask a question? Yeah. Do you think Dak Prescott will finish top five in MVP voting at any point the rest of his career? I won't say top two. I think the answer is easily no on that. But like no. if I put it in top five.
No, I don't.
When he gets a coach next year, ask me again.
Okay.
Because I really do think
coach
that
matters to the success of Dak.
I do think that could be a difference. For Dak, yes, absolutely.
I'll say no right now just because he continues to get hurt. He's been getting hurt a lot these last 5 years.
Sure.
And it's not just the injury, but it's like, how do you come back from the injury? I get it when people are like, oh, I'm fully recovered. And you're like, but are you? Like, that's got to take a toll.
Yeah, I am concerned about his body.
All right, let's go.
But that's his concern now with all his money on how to take care of that.
That is true. Do you want Dexter Lawrence coming out and saying stuff like this? Like, I'm not saying he's wrong. It's not a great situation in New York. But Dexter Lawrence said he's not a fan of Daniel Jones' demotion. Now, Daniel Jones is one of, if not his best friend, on at least the team. And he said he's the best quarterback on the team. Now, I realize Dexter Lawrence isn't playing offense out there, but, you know, do you have to have a conversation with Tommy DeVito now or probably not Drew Locke and be like, hey, sorry.
Probably not with those guys because they're backups that are going to play now.
Okay.
But I do think if you watch that Boston Red Sox, the comeback on Netflix, one of the things that hurt their chemistry, and he didn't mean to as he was going off of the reports, was Kevin Millar going on ESPN and saying, I'd rather have Alex Rodriguez over Nomar Garcia Parra and Manny Ramirez. And that really hurt the chemistry in spring training. Millar wasn't meaning to mess anything up. I don't think Micah Parsons meant to mess anything up trying to talk positively about Zach Martin. Unfortunately, he took a major shot at his head coach. Whether he meant to or not doesn't matter. He did.
Yeah.
Whether Kevin Millar meant to take a shot at
Nomar. Can you say it in a more Boston way when you say Kevin?
Nomar.
No, say Kevin Millar in a more Boston
way. Millar.
Millar.
But that's what happens.
Yeah.
Micah can say we're all at fault. No, we're not. You're at fault for saying what you said. Kevin Millar, yeah, you kind of screwed up going on ESPN. You thought it was a done deal that you were getting A-Rod and trading Nomar and Manny Ramirez. Yeah. And when you said I'd rather have him, who wasn't on your team yet, over the two guys that were on your team at the time, that hurt your teammates' feelings a lot.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. Now, Corey, as probably no one predicted at the beginning of the season, here are your new NFC and AFC Offensive Player of the Week winners. Taysom Hill and Bo Nix. What kind of odds do you think I could have got if I would have bet that at some point those two would both win their Offensive Player of the Week awards?
200,000 to 1.
Okay.
Is that a decent number?
If you get those kind of odds, you take it.
Take those odds immediately. Exactly. Because you never know.
So those are the two NFC Offensive, the NFC Offensive Player of the Week, Taysom Hill, AFC Offensive Player of the Week, Bo Nix. Let's go to Chris Boswell, who momentarily should be named the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. He converted all six of his field goals and is the first kicker in NFL history with six or more field goals in three different games. Excuse me, he's the second, tying John Carney in 1993. No, not like the guy who ran for president. No, not the actor, maybe, or wherever else you want to go with this. So it's Chris Boswell and John Carney.
Small hands.
Yes.
Smell like cabbage.
There's that as well.
Austin Powers.
He's a Carney.
When's the last time you ran into a Carney, Mike?
I haven't been to the State Fair of Texas since COVID. Not that COVID, you know, obviously kept me out for a year.
Yeah.
But I just haven't
gone back since
then.
You're not avoiding the fair still because of time
and stuff. My kids go and everything, but that would be when I meet Carneys.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's the only time I'd meet Carneys.
You never like see over off of a 635 sometimes there's that place. And
100%.
It's a Ferris wheel and a couple rides and you're like,
Irving Mall or whatever?
Yeah, and you're like,
I think sometimes you could
tell
out in the regular world too.
There's going to be a bolt missing.
Yeah.
You know, probably. It's loose. Yeah. Those rails are a little loose.
Do Carneys take pride in being Carneys?
I don't know.
Or they feel it's disrespectful?
I don't know.
Like the word gypsy, right?
Yes, you're not supposed to use that word anymore. So I guess we'll find out. I don't know.
Hey, if you're a Carney.
Yeah, if you're listening,
text us in what we should
call
you.
Obviously,
you're not doing anything right now because there's no carnivals happening like right now at 11:13 in the morning.
When is Carney season?
I don't know.
The fall?
What is that based on?
State Fair of Texas. Okay.
The weather?
Okay. Yeah,
the weather's pretty nice in the fall.
Yeah. Okay, not all carnivals happen in Texas.
In Duncanville, we'd have Carneys for 4th of July. They'd set up a carnival there and then we'd have Carney rides.
That's true.
It was scary.
Dude, one time I got on a Carney ride and it was one of those Ferris wheels and the dude like making it, like controlling it had two hooks for hands and I was like, I don't know about this.
What?
It was all right. We were safe. I only got stuck for like 20 minutes.
Did that really happen?
It wasn't his fault. It was the machine's fault. It was in New Mexico.
Okay.
So that was a different Carney.
All right.
Carnival.
I'm going to try really hard to pivot over to this. The Bills and Chiefs game, it was an extravaganza of ratings. It was the largest TV audience for an NFL game in a non-holiday or playoff game since 2007. 17 years since they got numbers like this. 31.2 million people watched it. By comparison, the opening game of the season, Kansas City and Baltimore, 28.9 million. This is the fourth most watched national game in that window since 1988.
I liked it. I thought it was a good game.
It was great.
I'm sure people would have liked to see it be 42-38 or something, but I felt like it was a good game. And down the stretch, Patrick Mahomes made plays, and down the stretch, Josh Allen won the game by making plays.
Yeah, it was what you expected it to be, and it just seems like since that shootout that they had in the playoffs, that has been the most anticipated matchup anybody can look for in the NFL.
And think about what it bumps up against. It was beaten out by 2007, the Pats and the Colts. That would have been the undefeated Patriots and Tom Brady against Peyton Manning, which is like, I think we all feel like one of the biggest quarterback rivalries of all time. So huge, huge number right there for Buffalo and Kansas City.
A lot of information coming in on carnivals, Kevin. No. From the 940, carnivals start mid-February and run till about the end of November. It depends on the show.
Yeah, that's a long time.
And then somebody said, as an ex-carny, I'm still proud of the work that I did.
Okay.
And then one says, Colby Carney here, but I'm a plumber. So he's not necessarily a carny.
And then, as I said earlier, the micification of our fan base. I'm a really big fan of the carne asada.
Carne asada.
Oh, those are good.
From the 214.
Sometimes they're bad. If you make the steak bad, it's bad.
Did y'all know that Hugo, Oklahoma is the carne and circle capital of the U.S.?
I think it says circus.
Oh, circus capital of the U.S. Circle capital? Because that's where they live in the off season. They live in Hugo in the off season.
A lot of carne rides are circles.
That's amazing.
So, like, the whole town is comprised of carnival workers?
What if you had a Hall of Fame of carnies, not the people? That would be weird. But maybe there would be people that would be enshrined there, yeah, not like their human body. Whatever. But
I don't think anybody was thinking that, Mike.
But that would be like you go to Hall of Fames and you see, like, this was Babe Ruth's bat. This was the first ever Ferris wheel.
Dude. Yes. Was it made of wood? Yeah. I don't know.
This was considered a go-kart in 1843.
Yes. There's no, okay, we'll look into it.
The first ever water hose.
I feel like that's the second time I said that in that segment that I didn't mean.
This was the guy who invented the clown.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Seem like you want to move on.
Coming up next, actually, this is probably fitting. It's time for My Buddy's an Idiot. Does your friend have a terrible sports or pop culture opinion, or do you work with them? Let us know, 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for My Buddy's an Idiot in just 1 second. I know we're going to preview Peace-a-thon a little bit, in probably in the next segment a little bit. But,
why,
Corey, do you have another thing that you want to tell us that is coming to Peace-a-thon? No big deal. NBD is what the kids say.
I just got a text from his people. And Magic Johnson's foundation has taken interest in Peace-a-thon. And I really appreciate what they're doing. We'll have more information on what they're doing. And how they found out about it, because they heard about it. And I was like, wow, that's pretty amazing. He is donating a jersey, an autographed jersey that is estimated value at $5,000. So we will have a Magic Johnson jersey available for auction this year. And that is really cool because...
From Magic Johnson.
Yeah, again, like, Derek Holland was the first person we ever asked for anything from, ever. When we started doing this, it was, Derek, do you think you can autograph a baseball for us? We might be able to make a couple $100 to donate.
Yeah.
And here we are now with an even bigger scale. So, yeah, we just heard about that information. So that'll be, again, next week, probably Tuesday is when it'll probably go live. Usually we go live about a day before.
Yeah.
It all matters on when Kevin can get all the stuff to Adrian.
Hey! I'm working on that.
He does an amazing job. But yeah, man, this is a really cool event that we get to do, and hopefully we get to do something special for the hipsters and Tolos. I hope y'all take a lot of pride in helping out what we do. Thank you very much.
And if you are like, what about on the football front? Oh, we got a Patrick Mahomes autographed jersey directly from the Chiefs and the Hunt family.
I'm going today to pick up something from the Cowboys. It is. I think it's a really cool item that people will like, and I'm also meeting up with Dude Perfect today, so I'll be talking with them.
Well,
I never get to use that the right way. Choppy throws it in so perfectly. I'm like, oh wow!
Aren't you friends with Roger Staubach?
I use Adrian worked with him for a while.
He has the most awkward interaction with Roger Staubach.
He loved Adrian's cake. She made a cake one day. It was a chocolate cake, I think. And he came by and had it, and he was like, "This is fantastic."
By your house?
No, it was like at her office. By the By the way, I did see, it was JLL was the name of the company, mm-hmm. which is interesting because I do believe in the breaking news story about our office space moving that JLL was involved.
Oh. So
I have some, and I say really crappy. I bought them a long time ago. They're Roger Staubach rookie cards, but they're in bad shape.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But if I could give you those two cards to get signed and you could auction one of them off for Peace-a-thon and... I mean, I know I'm being selfish here. I could have the other one, but the other one would go to Peace-a-thon, an authentic rookie card of Roger Staubach, autographed by him, I think would do very well.
I agree.
Here's something I know. I love it. Because I'll ask Adrian because she's still very closely connected to somebody who works, who's been there for like over 30
years. I'll find
those
cards and bring them tomorrow if there's a possibility.
That'd
be awesome.
But I know that like if you were an employee of his company, he would sign one ball for you for free. He would sign one ball, and Adrian had to choose between me and her dad on who to get the ball autographed for, and she chose me.
If I can only get one for me or one for my possibilities, I choose my possibilities.
Look at that,
so
Mike.
I will
do the best
I'll see
can.
I'll bring you the card tomorrow. Even if it doesn't work out for this Wednesday, maybe it would work out for next year that I could donate one of my Roger Staubach rookie cards. They're not, when I say not in the best of shape, wouldn't grade out well. Yeah. It would grade like a 2 to a 4 at best.
But that's still really nice.
But it would be, if it's autographed by him, I think that'd be very cool that somebody could have an autographed rookie card of Roger Staubach.
Agreed. Now, we're getting a lot of feedback on My Buddy's an Idiot, and it starts with me from the 432. Kevin, I love you and your work, but you're an idiot for not appreciating Corey and Mike's hilarious greatness. Y'all make me laugh every single day.
I agree.
From the 214, My buddy's an idiot because he thinks the Cowboys are a toxic franchise. Doesn't he know that they had 3 straight 12-win seasons and Dak was the runner-up to the MVP last year? That is a great point.
You can only root for like 5 other organizations that have more regular season wins than the Cowboys
yes!
over the last, like, I don't even know how many.
But they like, oh, what a Super Bowl! Maybe not San Francisco.
That's meaningless.
Oh, okay.
Did you enjoy those 12 wins?
Not really. I guess.
That's your problem.
Okay. I guess they were all right.
Just raised your expectations, unfortunately. You thought they were going to beat Green Bay because of those 12 wins.
Now, I got a tough question for this one because I'm not really sure where this falls. Is it the Olympic triathlete? Is it the cameraman? Or is it nobody because she and he were just looking out for each other?
All right.
So at the T100 Triathlon World Championship Final in Dubai, Taylor Nibb was an American athlete who took home the silver medal. And she had previously won other titles and everything. She's won the T100 4 times. But when she was finishing up, she was getting near the finish line, she asked, okay, Mike knows this story. She asked the cameraman, oh, I don't want to read it verbatim.
She said,
quote, I just S myself. Can you not get my ass? Thank you. Sorry. Now, is this just people looking out for people?
This is the Mike Tyson cameraman.
How
many people doing marathons or triathlons accidentally poop themselves
like
during the...
Probably a lot, right?
I guess you don't want to stop and go. That would ruin your PR.
It would. And that's not really something you can, like, do. I mean, I guess you could try horses.
I guess peeing while you're doing a triathlon, peeing in the waters, no big deal. Nobody's going to know.
Yeah, nobody will know.
Except the person right behind you. And they don't know. They're just getting the aftershocks of
They're like, oh, finally, some warm water.
Aftershocks?
Yeah. Like salty water.
Awake.
Yeah. But... I don't know. Do people do this quite a bit? I saw this highlight and I was like, oh no. And then it made me think she's a professional at this, right?
Yes.
Is this a common thing?
I bet it is. I really do.
Look, if you're a marathon runner, so we're asking carnies and marathon runners to text in today.
Yeah, while we got the seal of authorization for our charity from Magic Johnson. What a weird ass show this is.
Yeah. So go on, Kevin. So I have two people listed here, Nib and the cameraman. Was there a third person involved?
I just want to know, are either one of them idiots or are they just good people helping out one another?
So the cameraman said, deal. I'm not going to shoot your butt.
Yeah. After the fact, I think.
Right.
Because I don't know if he knew immediately.
Gotcha. I think this is awesome that they worked together on this. I mean, that's embarrassing if that happens. You know, just think about that. Would you want people to see your dirty trousers while you're jogging away trying to get a win?
I would not.
And you have been working out for like 4-something hours.
Yeah.
I don't even know what her time was, but it's a long time.
It is a long time. That's a good point.
And so,
All right, let's go from that to...
Like, do you have time before you go to the podium, right?
I don't. Probably.
Like, obviously, they didn't want to catch it on camera. She didn't know she was being filmed live when she was talking.
Correct.
To the camera guy. But then you're like, if this is a common thing, you have time to change clothes before you podium it, right?
I think you're probably right about that. I want to take you to cut number 10. This is Mike Elko, the Texas A&M head coach. Really can't stress enough that the Aggies play Auburn next. Go ahead.
You know, those big games earlier in the year, you know, maybe you look ahead. If we didn't have at stake what's at stake, maybe you would worry about it. I think our focus is single-handedly on Texas. I mean, on Auburn right now and locked in on what we got to get done.
I love it.
It really... undercuts your message when you say our singular focus is on Texas. I mean, Auburn. It really undercuts what you're shooting for, right?
Does he have to go in there now and tell his people, tell the team? Guys, you know what? We're focused on Arlington Buffalo Wild Wings and...
Yeah, they didn't say sock Cam Buffalo Newton's Wild horns off.
Okay.
The whole song is based on UT.
Yeah, we were here first. All right.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Let's go to...
Why'd you guys have to steal the 12th man from the Seahawks if you guys were so first at everything?
That is absurd. That is the dumbest thing.
Corey, I was in Seattle this year. They have a whole big sign. It says the first home of the 12th man.
Because they pay for the opportunity to use that. The Seattle Seahawks didn't even exist when the 12th man became a thing for Texas A&M.
You're saying there was never 12 men before Texas A&M?
That's right.
Come on.
Curfews and whatnot.
You're lying.
All right. Yeah, I'm not lying about this. Could I change my mind, Mike? It's not what you just said. This is the dumbest thing I have heard in a long time. Netflix has had a class action lawsuit filed against it for the pain... that came along with the buffering issues.
I know, I saw this,
Jake Paul, Mike Tyson fight. Ronald Blue Denton filed the suit in, of course, Florida, after he struggled to watch the fight. What are we doing?
I feel like all of us should get a couple bucks back, a month free.
Okay.
I mean, that seems fair. Like, hey, Frontier Cable, or Frontier Wi-Fi. Every once in a while, I have one of those days where it just goes out for like 4 days. I'd like my 4 days back. All right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair. And Frontier's like, you know what? You're right. And they always hook me up. I think that Netflix should say, hey, 60 billion people, or maybe one day worth. I don't know.
Okay.
Because you planned events around this stuff. People planned events.
That's true.
They all got together and did things together, and then that happened.
I like what we're doing here. It seems like I should file a class action lawsuit against my hot water heater.
Okay.
It's not working very well.
You can't file a class action lawsuit against an inanimate object without attaching a company.
All right. I'm suing class action lawsuit against the city of Dallas because my house is over 100 years old. It has horrible water pressure.
Okay. Who else does this affect?
People in Dallas.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you just need to make sure if you're going to have a class action lawsuit. You can't just file it and just say it's you.
I don't know. I think you can.
It's for a class. So at least 20 people.
There's 4 people that live in our house.
That's a class of people right there. Small class, but it works. It's like a Maymester.
I bet other people in my neighborhood, I'm hoping they do, because I don't want to be the only house with bad water
pressure.
Hold on.
I'm sorry. What? Did you just say that you hope Your neighbors are suffering from poor water, heat, and pressure because you are?
Yes.
Why would you
wish that? So then he can get this class action lawsuit off the ground.
I think we've established that you said more than one person or one household, so now I'm hoping that other people have this issue. If you live in the Bishop Arts area, are you having water pressure issues and also your hot water heater doesn't seem to be working anymore?
Yeah.
What do you want them to do? Call 1-800-SUE-DALLAS?
What's our phone number?
How do you not? 87. No, no. Don't call us for that.
10th caller.
Is there a Blue Chew for water pipes?
By the way.
Yeah, it said unknown for our water. We got a letter from Dallas. They're like, unknown if yours has lead in it or not.
Yes, I got that in Carlin too. Oh, no. They said, hey, wait for the results of our study, which should be done in 3 years or something. I'm like, oh, thanks.
Too late.
Yeah. All right. By the way, Jim Montgomery, former Stars coach of the Boston Bruins, he got fired. So maybe
they're not good
too. They're not. We're the KNC masterpiece. They did. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo, right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. It's time to talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
We're good, and you've had plenty of time. Will you tell us all of the ways that you have figured out to fix the Cowboys?
Well, we can start with, it seems like Brandon Cooks is ready to return to practice, and seems like he thinks he's ready to go on Sunday. So,
oh, really?
One helpful suggestion.
Yeah.
McCarthy kind of intimated that Marshawn Nealon was close. So we'll see what happens today and tomorrow with him. So that certainly would help out a defense that is missing some significant talent. DeMarcus Lawrence doesn't look like, maybe after Thanksgiving, something like that, towards the end of the season. So I don't think that he's just ready to go right now. But, you know, it would help. And then my other suggestion is don't go out there with three backups on the offensive line the way they finished the game.
Which that might not be an option, right?
Yeah, it might not be. And we'll find out more going forward. And it looks, you know, it seemed that it was suggested that Ferguson wouldn't get back out of the concussion protocol soon enough. So, and then, you know, the other thing is they're paying a heavy price for winning the division last year and not, you know, taking advantage of that in the playoffs, and now with the schedule they have, and I don't know if this was intentional or not, the fact that they had to play on Monday night and they're going to play a team that played the previous Thursday night.
Yeah.
And you got to travel. So I know they make it tougher on you from who you play, right? Because you're going to play the teams that correspond in first place in the other divisions and the extra game. But, you know, do they say, well, that team finished in first place, to make this a little more equitable, and we'll make them play a road game on Sunday after a Monday night game against the team that played Thursday night?
Yeah, I don't love the situation either, but I do kind of feel like the time discrepancy is unfortunately the least of the Cowboys' worries at this point.
Well, no, it makes it worse. The worries are enough.
Absolutely. As you brought up, we have a lot of problems on the team right now. I did want to point out a bright spot, if you will. One of the things going back to the game, Kevontae Turpin and the incredible speed that he showed off in the touchdown that the Cowboys scored. And it had been 54 days since they scored a touchdown at home. So that was much needed. It was the fastest speed tracked by a ball carrier since 2020.
So I saw it was the fastest of the season.
Yep.
I didn't realize you had to go back that far. Was it the .3 that made it the fastest?
I think it was the .36 that made it the fastest.
It got down to 3.6.
That's right. The .36, and that makes all the difference.
Well, maybe, now you know why they have kind of, in most situations, given them the green light to return the ball out of the end zone.
Oh, for sure.
It's almost like this is an offensive play for him, right? And, you know, if he can make one or two guys miss, he's gone. Because when he caught that pass on that slant, I said to myself, he's gone. And, boy, he just sped by everybody. And he knows that, you know, he's capable of that if he gets the opportunities. But as you starting to see on kickoffs, they're just kicking it out of the end zone, not even into the end zone, or trying to do anything fancy with line drives, because they're setting him up as the only guy back there. You know, most teams have two return guys back. They've got him as a single return guy. And it seems like some of the officials still haven't figured out that when you have one guy back there, the other guys can all be up, right? They got a flag again.
Yeah.
That they had to pick up.
Yeah.
These guys know the rules? I mean, come on. You're getting paid thousands of dollars to do this game. And that's twice that mistake has been made. But, yeah, just get the ball in his hands any way you can, and you never know what just might explode. So, that's been a real bright spot. Maybe they should just do a wildcat and snap it to him.
Yeah, I just say just run more slants all the time with him.
If they're going to play the way they did on the slot guy, like backed off that far,
mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, you give him that much room to – run his route. Boy, you better be there when he catches it, because if not, you're toast with his speed.
On the Jake Ferguson front, the guys who take his place in Schoonmaker, Spanford, can you tell me a little bit about how they've come along this season? I'm not sure that everybody is all on board with the Schoonmaker pick at this point.
Think about it. You know, he dealt with injuries last year.
Yep.
And even before they even got to training camp, right, the off season.
Yeah.
And he finished the season with 8 catches and didn't really get all that much playing time. And then this year, going into that game Monday night, he had 8 catches, and he had 6 in the game. So that was kind of a career game for him going forward, and he got opportunities. So I thought that, you know, he took advantage of his opportunities with 6 catches. I think you saw what, Spanford can do also. They're not afraid to throw him the ball. I just assume, you know, when he was in there, it just meant to block. And I would also imagine he would have been the next tackle to go in the game if they ran out of offensive linemen, because they were down to nobody.
What do you think about Mike Bassick's radical idea that they move Mozzie Smith to an offensive lineman because he ain't getting it done on the other side?
Just use his big body there?
Exactly.
Not bad, Mike. One of the better suggestions.
It happens in baseball. Sometimes they're like, you know, you can't hit, but you throw the ball hard. You want to try this pitching thing out?
Or we're not wearing out our pitching staff, so the first baseman goes in and pitch, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you're down to 4 offensive linemen because of injury, you're like, you're big. Try to keep the guy in front of you. As Michael Irvin said one time, they give you $300 million dollars for 3 seconds.
That's right.
Which I don't think there's an offensive lineman.
3 seconds. Yeah, give me 3 seconds. Yeah, we like to see Mike line up with his hand on the ground.
Well, I was curious, how often do you agree with the fiery hot opinions of Michael Irvin? Because he said that he knows for a fact that there is a scenario in which Shadur and Deion Sanders will be in Dallas next year. I'm not saying that's going to happen whatsoever.
A fact, right?
Yes.
That they can manipulate the draft.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or maybe they'll pick high enough to be in that position. I mean,
maybe that's what they're angling for, right?
Yeah.
I just don't know how that would work with Dak's contract.
It wouldn't.
You can't. It's impossible. And he ain't going anywhere that he can sit, right?
Oh, that's probably true. That's a good point.
Especially if Daddy's the head coach.
That is a very good point, sir.
Or you would love that circus, though, wouldn't you?
I mean, look, personally,
I think he was talking about us personally. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I know. Look, I was born and raised in the Metroplex. I want to see the Cowboys win. From a professional standpoint, though, this would make my job infinitely easier, because every day there would be Who you the could, hell
you
knows?
You could sleep well at night knowing that you don't have to wake up and go, oh, what are we going to talk about today?
Yeah, absolutely.
Every day would be something to talk
about. Absolutely.
So easy.
Well, I think if that's the case, then you need to be out here every day dealing with it.
Oh, I'm glad that I get to sit behind this mic at times. No, I'm definitely. By the way, if you want to set your own programming update, Jerry Jones will be on with us tomorrow at 10:30 as opposed to Friday this week.
Oh, okay. Let me write that down.
See? Already helping out the cause.
Thursday, 10:30. I got it.
Wait,
let him finish.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, I was done.
How are you feeling about the progression of the offensive linemen? Because I know we just kind of joke, like, unfortunately, there might be nothing to stop that. Do you feel like we'll get a better idea after the practice report today or after practice today?
I would think you... I don't have a feel for how bad those injuries were. And they could, like... I think what happens tomorrow will determine, because they're not going to be in pads this week.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be in pads next week because it's Thanksgiving, right?
Right.
So the next time they'll ever practice in pads will be before Cincinnati. And they get an extra day there. So maybe that's the equity of or equitable deal with having to play a team on a short week. And then when they get off on a long week, it gets even longer because it's a Monday night against Cincinnati, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the Simpsons game.
And they would end up playing, at this point, two games in a row against teams with losing records.
Which, again, to go back to how we started this, that's great. Well, we'll take...
that's a positive.
Yeah.
Right? Look who Washington has beaten.
We've talked about that. No, you're right. Yeah. I know there is a flaw in their resume, and I'm sure they wanted to beat Philadelphia to not only take control of the division,
right,
but to erase the talk about that flaw. So that's a fair point for sure.
I think the best team they've beaten, record-wise, was Cincinnati's like 4-6 now.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
They're damn
although
good
they
team.
When they played them early in the season, I don't think they had won yet.
Though, to be fair, Mick, we learned yesterday or Monday, you only have to be 3-7 to be a damn good team, right?
Are you picking on Micah?
A little bit. I know he can take it, though, so just a little bit.
Yeah, let's turn it around.
It's positivity, all right?
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, good sir. We appreciate it. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow.
All right. See you guys.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and I see him here right across the way in the studio. So let's switch things up. I said 1220. Let's do it now. AEW wrestler, double Ring of Honor champion, and icon in the business, Dustin Rhodes, next right here on The Fan.